Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
The thing that fires me up the most about liberal media is when they just go bonkers over stuff that is overwhelmingly the will of the people and many people in their own party. Illegal immigration is a 65% issue. Americans hate it. Voter ID being required is a 75% issue. Americans love the idea. Liberals on the wrong side of both of those, but with their outrage, you'd think 99% of Americans agree with them. It's the same thing right now in the state of Kansas. The Kansas Senate has passed the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, and the lib media are calling Republicans bullies and all sorts of stuff. What they don't realize is this is democracy in action. Local citizens sent to Topeka to reflect the values of their fellow citizens from their community. What percentage of Kansans do you think would say they think it's right for a biological male to change sex and win a state title at a taxpayer-supported public school as a female athlete? Can I take a guess? I'd say 90% in Kansas think that's a really bad idea. Yet here we are. The lib media is just crazed that this law could pass in Kansas to prevent it. Also on this episode, Dan Bongino is taking over Rush Limbaugh's 11 to 2 show on over 600 radio stations nationwide. This is a good pick. We'll see how it goes. And a former Duke basketball player and member of the media is calling for college basketball players to go on strike right before the big dance. You got to hear this on KKHI. Brought to you by BeStock.net. That's B as in boy. Chris and the gang out there are saving so many of you hundreds of dollars on brand new televisions with warranties or computers from Dell, HP, and Lenovo. Do not buy another computer without going to BeStock. You can see everything they have online at B as in boy, BeStock.net. If you go to the outlet store in Olathe, you save even more. 14680 South Flaming Road. If you want directions or the phone number, check out the website. B as in boy, BeStock.net. It is the only way to buy electronics. They've got everything you need, and you're going to save big. Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. The first appointment is always free. Had a couple of listeners email me and say, one said he switched. His daughter was going somewhere else, and they switched orthos and moved to Fry. And others have let me know that this is your choice as your children are reaching that age. Great. Or your grandkids, whomever, pass it along. These are great folks. Fry Orthodontics, committed to you. 12 locations. I always say it's white glove treatment. They were so gentle with my daughter, and they made it fun. I love the way they make this process work over the weeks and months. It's terrific. FryOrthodontics.com is the website, or call 469-9191. Mention the podcast and the first appointment is free. At Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. Buck Roofing, Ron Buck and his team are available 24/7 if you have an emergency. Or what I'm recommending this time of year is give them a call and have them inspect your roof. If nobody's inspected your roof in quite a while, have Ron and his team come look at it. It may be nothing is wrong with it. It may be you need a $29 repair, a couple of nails pounded down on some flashing or something like my mom had one time. And he may say, look, in the next couple of years, you need to be thinking about a new roof. They'll cut you straight. It's totally honest, man. Ron Buck's the man. They win all kinds of awards about their integrity and their service. I believe in them completely. Ron is a personal friend of mine. You can trust them with any of your roofing needs. Call Ron Buck at Buck Roofing, 384-2680, online at rbuckroofing.com. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And Stacy Higgins and Danny, her husband, at Green Compass CBD. This is the best CBD you can buy, the best products you can buy. They're USDA organic. There is no or just the tiniest minimal traces of THC. Green Compass in North Carolina grows their own. There's no middleman. This will help with your pain and inflammation, topical creams, roll-ons, keep it in the golf bag. They also have products for calming and focus. It's a great product. Stacy tells me they are the best, and I believe her. I've known her for 20 years. No reason not to believe her. Check out her site, cbd-gc.com, cbd-gc.com for Green Compass CBD. There's also an opportunity to work at home. If you'd like to get on the ground floor of this company, they've only been in business a couple of years. They've doubled their sales in 2 years. It's a family-started business in North Carolina, and the ground floor opportunity exists of what is about to become a 20-billion-dollar industry by 2024. If you'd like more information on working at home part-time as a side hustle or as your primary work, check out the site, cbd-gc.com, and Stacy will hook you up. Oh, boy, are they going crazy over this new law that could happen in Kansas about transgenders in our schools. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Joslyn's Jewelry presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Well, lawmakers in the state of Kansas have certainly made a lot of news this week all over the place with the Kansas Senate leader in his embarrassing moment driving the wrong way on I-70. We'll see how that's all resolved as they investigate impaired driving and potential charges against him in that regard. And then, of course, the lawmakers are in session to make laws and put good laws on the book that reflect the popular sentiment of the citizens of the state of Kansas or the state of Missouri or any other state. This is their job. You elect people to represent you. It is the will of the people. And the will of the people on this particular topic is overwhelming. It's overwhelmingly on one side, and it's outrageously of the small number of people on the other side, and that is transgender laws pertaining to sports, K through 12 in our state schools. These are public schools. These are funded by taxpayers. The taxpayers are in charge. Many people in the media often forget that the people are in charge of the government. The government is not in charge of the people. And the media like to think that they can sway everyone's opinion and control the law of the land. In the state of Kansas, the Senate has passed easily, the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. It can go all the way through, and it basically says this. Let's just cut the crap on this thing. Basically, what this says is if you were born a male, we will not let you participate in women's sports, girls' sports, in the state of Kansas, in our public schools. That's it. If you were born male, we're not letting you play girls' athletics. I think that's a fine law. I don't have a problem with this in any way, shape, or form. I don't understand how the left pushes things like this. The Kansas City Star's headline referred to the lawmakers in Kansas as bullies. This is not a close vote. There will be Democrats that support this or they will lose their seat. This is another one of those issues that 75% or more, it's probably more if people are being honest, that they don't think it's right or fair that a biological male can surgically alter as a child, as a minor, which is a whole separate issue we should be talking about. And that is, what should lawmakers do with doctors who allow gender surgeries and gender operations, transgender operations on minors? I know what my personal belief is. My personal belief is that shouldn't be allowed because it sounds to me like something that a parent could persuade their child to do at a young age. That, my goodness, if you have to be 18 to vote, you ought to have to be at least 18 to do something with changing your sex. I don't understand some of the stuff going on in the world and why it's all legal and why we allow it. When we have age restrictions on so many things, it seems to me something like that should have an age restriction on it. And I think that will be pursued. There will be probably some laws, you know, going down the road. We'll see some things along those lines on whether there should be probation or penalties for doctors that perform these surgeries. Because I think they'll still happen. I mean, even if they're deemed, it's like abortion. I mean, there's been illegal abortions forever. There have been doctors that have gone rogue and conducted abortions when they know they're not supposed to because they think it's the right thing to do and they don't care. People will always break the law. And just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you won't. Now, that's not painting a big broad brush on doctors. It is an incredibly small number, as it is the case with all of these polarizing issues that we have in our society. We're always talking about a very small number of people. We're talking about, you know, one crazy guy that goes into these massage parlors in Atlanta, and all of a sudden every white person is racist because some Asian Americans were killed by an absolutely evil, awful person. We'll address that more in a moment, but not much, and I'll explain why. But back to the Women's Fairness Sports Act in Kansas. They refer to these girls, because they're girls, we're not talking about adults. We're talking about K through 12, girls, transgender girls. And they call it fairness in women's sports. I'm not sure that's fair. I think a lot of times labeling is done horrifically by people on the conservative side of the aisle. It's just awful. How can you be, see, I think transgenders are mislabeled. It's confusing to me. I'm just going to be honest with you. I may be out over my skis here and I may get in a lot of trouble for talking about this because I'm no expert on this. I'm not even trying to pawn off on you that I've studied this or know a whole lot about it. But I am an expert in sports, and I do believe it is fundamentally wrong. I don't like to use the word fair or unfair. It is fundamentally wrong for someone who is born a male to compete against women or girls in athletics. And let me state something that will offend a lot of people. There is all kinds of equality in the world. There's tons of equality. It exists everywhere. It does not exist always between the sexes. Physically and athletically, females are no match for men. Males, they're just not. When it comes to, let's say, childbirth, men are no match for females. Males are no match for females. There are just biological differences between the two that you can't ignore in cases like this. And if the purpose of sport is to compete and win and to have sportsmanship and fair play and things of this nature, if you are born a male, you can't compete in girls' sports. I'm sorry. Once you make the decision to change, whatever, you can go be I mentioned the labeling part. Here's what's confusing. If you're a transgender female, you're biologically a male. And this is where the right got this wrong. We allow the left to dictate these terms. It sounds so sweet to say a transgender girl or a transgender woman. It sounds so sweet, doesn't it? What we're talking about is a biological male, a man that changed the sex to female. I think the naming of transgenders is wrong. And this will get me in a lot of trouble with people, but I'm just being honest. I think it's wrong. I think if you are biologically male and you change your sex, I think you're a transgender male. I don't think you're a transgender female. I think it's confusing as hell for all of us to follow any of this stuff and figure out what can be said, what's right, what's wrong. But I know this, when it comes to competing in sports, if you're born a male, you shouldn't be competing against girls. You just shouldn't. And I get confused all the time. A transgender male. Okay, well, I got to think real hard. Okay, exactly what is that? Can we just, if we're going to say transgender male or transgender female, they don't use that, transgender man, transgender woman. Okay, that's the term they use. If we're going to assign a biological sex after saying transgender, could we please assign the biological sex from birth? At least that way we know what we're dealing with. Because I don't know. It's confusing. I support these lawmakers. They are not bullies, as the Kansas City Star called them. They are clearly reflecting the will of the people. And how in the world we've gone over the last 40 years from the left being all in on what? Women's rights. Women's rights. Women's equality. Title IX applications in college athletics. Get the scholarships for the women. And now they're just going to cave and say, we're going to let men change their sex and compete against you? How is that fair to women? That sounds awful for women. It sounds terrible. We know the story of the high school girl last year in the Northeast. I think it was just before COVID or right as it was happening, New Hampshire or one of the states in the Northeast. She finished second in a track event, and it was a big one, the 800 meters or something like that. And she had worked her whole life to win a state championship. And she finished second to what I would call a transgender male. I think that's much more honest, if we're going to say it. A male changed their gender. This is a transgender male. It's just a biological male that looks like a woman and maybe surgically has changed their body to where they function somewhat like a woman. I mean, it's all just so stupid and sick to me. I don't get it. Why would you want to be born a male, change your sex, and then go compete in sports? All right, if transgender is your thing, I'm not standing in your way. People get to do to themselves, for themselves, whatever they want, as long as, and I've said this for 35 years publicly as a broadcaster, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. You go do what you want with your life, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. Well, guess what changing your sex from male to female and competing in sports does? It hurts somebody else. And let's be honest, how far down the list is sports? If I mean, the singular purpose in your life, I would assume the singular focus of any teenager that is changing their sex from male to female is that issue. There really is no other issue in your life. That's what I've read or seen, that they're so overwhelmed by this and they don't understand their identity and they're so confused with their life that this is the number one issue, is I've got to change my sex. Okay. All right. You did it. Now don't hurt others by doing it. That's it. That's all we ask. That's all we ask of anybody in society. Live your life. Live whatever kind of life you want. Live one of complete purity. Live one of audacity or outrage or all kinds of debauchery. As long as you don't hurt somebody else. I ultimately don't care. I think most people are that way. We would like for more people in society to live a traditional Judeo-Christian life. We would like for that, but it's not possible that everybody's going to do that. That's not possible. And I'm not going to spend my life preaching to others on how they should live. What I am going to do is I'm going to stand up and try to protect our ways. And I'm going to protect, you know, my daughter played in sports. The last thing she did gymnastics as a kid. She was pretty good until she got hurt, blew out a knee, different things happened, whatever. The last thing in the world I want is some biological male to come around and beat her out of her position on the team or something like that. I just can't even imagine this. I don't know why we don't refer to transgenders as with their biological gender. To me, if you've become a woman, you should just be referred to as a transgender male. At least we know what you were born as. If you're a transgender male, you can't compete in ladies' sports. I don't get any of it. So if you're a girl and you change your sex to boy, can you go compete with the girls? I don't know. But the state of Kansas did the right thing. They pumped the brakes, they hit the pause, and they said, we're not dealing with this. The other thing that's so outrageous about issues like this is it is such a small number of people. And of all the transgenders, how many are then competing in sports? It's just such a very small number. And I would say to their side, the other side of this isn't the battle you want to fight. Fight the rights to make it legal, let people do whatever they want, live their life. If you want to argue that young people can make decisions to change their gender before they're 18 with the consent of their parent, knock yourself out on those arguments. You really shouldn't be impeding in the sports world and saying, this is the important thing for transgenders, because it can't be the most important thing for transgenders. The most important thing for a transgender is become a transgender. Fight that fight. We'll discuss that all day long, but this one isn't it. So the ACLU is ready to sue the state of Kansas. This is a big story. Governor Kelly can veto it. I mean, she's in a real jam because she's going to be running for re-election in the campaign a year from now will be starting. Her re-election campaign will start within a year. The Republicans will be on board way before that. They're just going to get to go around the state and hammer her that she vetoed a bill that will allow biological males to change their sex and compete in sports in our public schools that state taxpayers fund as girls. She wants to defend that on the campaign trail in the state of Kansas. I wish you luck, Governor Kelly, on that particular issue. And maybe that's what so much of this is about. Maybe the Republicans are trying to box her in a corner. I say good for them. I think she's toast anyway, just from the lockdown stuff. I think too many people have thought she went too far in this state and it's going to get thrown back at her, and I don't think she did a great right. Look, this is really simple. Sports, athletics in school, supported by taxpayers, public schools in Kansas, sports, you have no right to play sports. You were not born with a right to play sports. You were not. You were not born with the right to play sports. You have to earn it. Look at all the things you have to do. You have to qualify. You got to be good enough, right? You have to stay out of trouble. You have to make grades. You have to be at practice every day. All these things that we're asked to do to compete in sports, it is a privilege. And the American left has lost all observance or credibility of knowing the difference between a right and a privilege. They're completely different things. And playing sports is a privilege. There is no right to play sports. This doesn't apply. This doesn't, no. We get to make the rules. There's no legal standard. You weren't born with the right to change your sex and play sports as the new sex. You're not born with that right in America. There's nothing anywhere that says you have that right. It is a privilege. And individual states can decide whether they think that is fair or the will of the people. And this is not the will of the people. And furthermore, how are women not just outraged by this? Female athletes, and there's a bunch that have spoken out against it. Martina Navratilova has. There's plenty of them on a world stage. Like, whoa, pump the brakes, folks. You know, this generation of older athletes, Martina Navratilova has spoken about this many times. There's a generation of older female athletes said, wait a second, you don't know what we went through to pave the way for equality for women in sports. And we've achieved it. Title IX is no small part of that. There are more women's scholarships in America than male. There's just more opportunities. So we see all these things in sports and all these people, these women that have fought so hard for so long to get to a certain place. And now they're like, whoa, wait a second. What? We worked that hard to do that. And now what we're getting is biological males changing sex and beating out a girl in track and field in New Hampshire and winning the state championship when you're born a male. We've come too far for this. Women should be outraged more than men. They should. Women should be outraged. What are you doing? And the people who argue on the left say, well, this implies that women are needy, that they need help, that they need this and they need that. If you're trying to defend them, that this evil transgender can't come over and compete against them, you're basically saying women are helpless and needy. I'm like, really? That's your answer for against this bill. I mean, if that's the case, on a scale of 1 to 10, if that makes female athletes needy, what is Title IX? That's a 10 plus. And I don't think it makes women or female athletes needy in any way, shape, or form. I don't like Title IX's application at the collegiate level. I think it's inherently unfair to men, but I understand what it was designed to do. Women have taken full advantage of the law, as they should, and they will. But I don't see them as needy or inferior or weak because they have exercised Title IX to their advantage. I don't see that at all. But that's the argument here with transgenders. This is a hot button issue, man. I had a lot of people have emailed me and touched on this topic. And I know that you're all just outraged by it. I get it. And I there are differences between men and women. And athletics is one of them. There is no comparison. You can't say this stuff out loud. People will scream at you. Men and women are not equal in athletics. Men are far superior in athletics than females. Period. End of statement. That's follow the science. It's just absurd. It's crazy. So anyway, there you go. Sports is a privilege, and I applaud Kansas for doing this. Missouri's looking at the same thing. They're looking at a statewide ballot initiative. They'll put it on the ballot and let people vote. That would really be interesting. I mean, that would really, really, really be interesting. But here's what they'll do. Here's what the left will do with that on the ballot. It will be so confusing. It will be a yes or no. And when you say transgender female, how many people that walk into the booth know whether that's a biological female or a biological man? Honest to God, honest question. How many people would go vote and wonder, okay, what was this person born as? If I say transgender male or transgender female, how many people, what percentage of the American population actually know what was that person born as biologically? I think for a lot of people, it's a dart throw. They don't pay attention. They don't care. I'm the same way. I don't care and I don't pay attention. Just go live your life, but don't hurt others. When you're coming in and playing sports and winning state championships instead of a biological female, you're hurting someone else. And that's when I get excited and upset. And I do. I would love to see it on the ballot and see how that occurs in the state of Missouri. And that doesn't sound like it is too far away. All right, a couple other topics here on this episode. The crime in Atlanta, the heinous crime of the crazy man who went into the massage parlors and killed eight, six Asians, Asian Americans. The left has turned this into white supremacy, of course. And I know a lot of you wonder why, because I've had you email me about this, and I speak with a lot of you, and I'll probably speak with a lot of you Saturday at our patrons party, which is going to be fun. If you'd like to become a patron, you can still sign up and join us on Saturday from noon to three for the watch party. It's going to be a great day Saturday. It looks great. Go to kkasissues.com. But one of the things I constantly hear is, Kevin, why aren't you on this more? Why aren't you on this race thing more? I'm so mad that they say this and they say this and they say this. I am completely unafraid to speak about topics of race. What I do not want to do with this podcast, and I think is the biggest mistake that conservative media make, not liberal media, conservative media, Fox News, Breitbart, any place you go and get your conservative news, any of the talk show hosts, I think the biggest mistake they make is this is too easy. We used to have a saying in sports radio, if you ever have a slow day, just open up the phone lines and ask, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Well, that's the laziest sports radio you can do. The phones will light up. People have an opinion. You'll fill the time and you'll get to go home and your paycheck will cash. It won't bounce. But to me, the equivalent in conservative media is if you're on there talking about race, defending, you know, Ben Shapiro spent 2 hours on this talking about, you know, this isn't racism, defending it all. Stop following the stories the left is putting out there. I think by and large, a conservative audience understands it is not racist and you don't want to hear about this stuff. I can't draw any correlation. I don't know what this Asian Americans that were killed, I don't know if they were targeted because of their race. The guy who did the shooting said, I'm a sex addict. I've got a problem. And these were the places that advertised online that they were more sensual massages than other places, erotica, whatever. That's what he said. I don't have any reason to believe him. He's a killer. If you asked him, are you going to go kill some people today? He wouldn't have said yes. So there's no reason to really believe the guy. But at this point, nobody knows. Let's let him pour through his computer. Let's find out what he was into. Who knows? Crazy people that go shoot people up are beyond racism. It's so far beyond racism to think that somebody's like, I can't stand that Asian Americans are here. I'm going to go shoot him up. That's just unbelievable. That man has way deeper and sicker problems than that, than racism. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on those topics because I think as conservatives, we shouldn't be responding to what the left is perpetuating. I just don't. I think we diminish how smart we are, how confident we are in who we are, and how welcoming we are to others, how open we are to others. I'm dead serious about this. I refused to take this podcast every day and respond to crap the left's putting out. So I'm done with the, we may learn something more down the road. I'm not spending all day on this Atlanta killer. I'm not. It's awful. Anytime these crazy people go shoot people up, it just breaks my heart. But there's a much bigger issue than race in these things. Much bigger. Much bigger. Mental illness. Who knows what's, who knows? So I'm not. Congratulations to Dan Bongino. He is taking over the Rush Limbaugh show, renamed the Dan Bongino Show, on Westwood One Premier Radio Networks, 11 to 2 Kansas City time. Every weekday, it'll be on the 700 radio stations, whatever, around the country. He's a good choice. He is not Rush Limbaugh. He's red meat for conservatives. People love Dan Bongino, and it's really easy to see why. We'll talk more about Dan later. He's going to start, it's a few weeks away, May, maybe, or maybe a little sooner than that. It's going to be a while before he takes over that slot on all those radio stations. Dan Bongino will do good. This guy's a winner. He gets it. He's also a cancer survivor. There's a lot of good things about Dan Bongino. Really a lot to like, and he doesn't take any crap from anybody. So I like that. It's a good selection for Rush Limbaugh's spot. It's going to be hard in the beginning for me, if I listen, when I listen, to think, man, this was Rush's show. But Dan Bongino is the best I can think of. It's the one who I predicted anyway. I predicted it would be Dan Bongino, and that's where they've gone. I predicted it would be him if he wanted it, because he's off doing his own thing, his own podcast and all that. This is a much better gig than doing your podcast or whatever. Rush Limbaugh was making some, at one point, like $60 million doing the show. When you're on 700 radio stations and you're doing live commercials and stuff for sponsors, you're just making buku bucks. Bongino's going to make millions doing this show. All he's got to do is keep it from tanking. Just keep it going. And you're good. And here we are on the eve of the NCAA tournament. One of my gargantuan pet peeves. I started a thing on Twitter yesterday. I saw it. Jay Billis had retweeted a guy who was like, oh God, name, image, likeness. We got to pay the players. Here's the tournament. Let's start squawking about that again. I never thought it would come to this. You may or may not even know a guy named Jay Williams. He played basketball at Duke. He's a former Duke basketball star, and he has a public format. A lot of people know him. He does some broadcasting, different things. And so he called for the players in the NCAA tournament to strike. He outwardly said, look, the players, you guys should unite right now on social media and not play. Wreck this tournament, push it back. Tell them you're not playing until you get your name, image, and likeness rights, you get paid money, you get salaries, all these standards. I'm like, what are these people on? There are 68 teams in the tournament. That means there's close to, 900 scholarships, 1,000 scholarships in the tournament. Each one of these scholarships is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. At the highest level, they're worth over $500,000. At the lowest level, they're still worth $100,000. So every single player that's on full scholarship in this tournament is being compensated between $100,000 and $1 million. Right? You are. They pay for everything. All your clothes, all your housing, all your meals, all your transportation, all your books, all your tuition, all your travel. They give you cash money. In most cases, you fly charter or first class. You stay in 5-star hotels. Everything is done for you. You're allowed tutors. You are a celebrity on campus. If you like girls or boys, not going to judge. They're plentiful while you're in college. You're a rock star on the basketball team. I mean, this is the privileged class, almost like it's guilt. People who played in the NBA or made a bunch of money, and now they've grown older, and they're like, boy, I feel bad for these kids. Well, how could you possibly feel bad for these kids? I always refer to it this way. The basketball and football players on a college campus are the one percenters. Okay? They're the ones the liberals always attack. They're the one percenters. They have it the best. Here's an idea. If you don't want your $300,000 worth of goodies to go to a state school, if you want to turn that down, turn it down. Go play basketball somewhere else or go get a job. We don't care. See, each one of these kids has an option. They get to choose when they're 18. Do I want to take my $300,000 worth of goodies and go to college? Do I want to go to the G League? Oh, sorry. There's 350 teams. That's 5,000 roughly, 5,000 basketball players, Division I on scholarship. Maybe 10 of them can go to the G League out of high school, 20, something like that. That leaves 4,980 of them that have really no other option to play, pick up games at the Y, whatever. They can get a job, or you can go to college and get all this stuff free and get set up for life. These people have lost their minds. Jay Billis is the worst. He's absolutely the worst. Jay Williams, his Duke buddy, right there with him, actually called for the players to go on strike. I couldn't believe it. Go on strike before the NCAA tournament until they pay you. My answer is they are paying you. They pay you cash. They pay for everything. They give you walking around money now. If they get it, they get a stipend. They get a check every month. Here's your money. Here's your money. You want to go out on a date? Here's your money. There's nobody at school that has it as good as the athletes. And if they don't want the deal, don't take the deal. I pray that the NCAA stands up to this and that we keep college athletics what we love about college athletics. That, and I'm not naive enough to say, look, they're just student athletes. No. They're, in so many cases, they're just there to play sports, but they do get an education, and the graduation rates are going up everywhere. So we are finding a way to graduate more athletes. In so many cases, athletes that would have never gone to college, but they get an education. And when they don't make it as a professional, they have a degree and they go out in the world and they've benefited in a way that will pay them back the rest of their lives. If you want to start running as a factor of money, go look at the statistics of a college degree versus non-college degree, how much more money the average college-educated person makes over a lifetime versus the other. And there's exceptions. We see billionaires that didn't graduate college. I get that. But the numbers don't lie. You're going to make more money in your lifetime if you graduate college on average. So let's add that money in and say, what are they making? This is so disingenuous. I don't understand. The stuff the left pushes is it's just outrageous. I'm really upset today about some of this stuff. It's just annoying and overwhelming, and it's noise, and it bangs in my head every day, and they're taking over. They're controlling the social media, all of the mainstream media, all of the entertainment. Now the NCAA tournament, I can't watch it without thinking, oh, there's Jay Williams. He wanted them to go on strike. A 19-year-old kid from the ghetto who's getting a free education, living like a rock star, staying in 5-star hotels and flying on private charters, he wants him to make more money than he already does. Ugh. The whole thing just makes me sick sometimes. There you have it, folks. Kevin Kietzman has issues. We will be back on Friday. This one posted a little different time. I don't know if you noticed that. My wife is awesome. She went and saw Dr. Bush today in North Kansas City and had some dental work done. Not orthodontics, not Dr. Fry kind of work. And she was in the chair a long time. We were there most of the day. So this one is up. If you have not listened to the John Sunvold interview, please listen to it. I can't, you know, they're like my children, so I can't say it was my favorite podcast that we've done in the first 6 months, but I can't tell you it wasn't my favorite podcast. I just loved talking with John Sunvold. Pass it along to other people. Let them listen to that. It's the kind of thing we're trying to do here at KKHI. I really, really enjoyed it. Don't forget to hit the follow button, please. Share the podcast with others. Let them know about it. I'd greatly appreciate it. And we'll be back on Friday with another edition of Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.